Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to the show. We're so glad that you're here, whatever you are doing on this Monday. If you are driving a truck down the road, which we know we have a lot of truck drivers who listen, if you are a mom or a grandma in the pickup line, if you're a dad at home with your kids, if you're listening at work, wherever you are, we are so glad that you are here as we have a mission to prescribe hope for healthy families. And every week since January, we've been talking about a healthy habit for parenting. And you can follow along on those on the show. All you have to do is just listen in. And every week we give you a new habit to integrate into your life routine, not something to add on to what you're doing, but to add into what you're doing. And one of the habits we'll be talking about this week is having some boundaries on technology for your house. As we're approaching the summer months, this is where parents start off really strong. You know, we're going to have all kinds of crafting projects and family devotional times and picnics with bento boxes. And if you're any house like mine, by July, it pretty much looks like a frat house. Like, people are sleeping everywhere, eating everywhere. Just there is chaos. And usually we say, give them back their iPad. Just let them have screen time. I need a moment's peace. So if that is you, we will be talking about that this week. So be sure to tune in throughout the week and we'll give you some tips on having tech boundaries. But today we're going to talk about an amazing piece of technology, a great way to leverage technology and to show that not all tech is bad. We are going to talk about something new that is newly released and still developing called iBible. And our guest today is Steve Cleary. Steve is the founder and executive director of Revelation Media, a 501c3 ministry dedicated to providing biblically based content to the next generation, which you know I'm all about, and to the global missions community. Now, Revelation Media began operating in early 2016, and maybe you've heard of this. It's best known for its release of the animated feature film The Pilgrim's Progress and for iBible, a first ever 280-episode animated presentation of the entire biblical narrative translated and to get this, more than 7,500 living languages. Now, Steve has a long ministry career, beginning with the Voice of the Martyrs. He's been involved in countless other projects, many of which I'm sure you've heard of. And today we are going to be talking about iBible. So, Steve, welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you here.
Thanks, Jessica. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, tell us a little of your story, Steve. How did you end up being involved in this media business? And what is your life story that brought you to this moment in time where you're working on iBible?
My ministry started with Voice of the Martyrs, as you, I think, mentioned, in 1990. I was with them and really saw the power of media, both on the field and in the U.S. In the U.S., it was to let Christians know about what was happening in other countries where Christians were being persecuted. And then on the field as well, as you know, we started bringing videos and books and different media on the mission field. And so I really got a vision for media during that time. And eventually, like you mentioned, we made the film The Pilgrim's Progress. And when I was making that film, I first started out thinking, you know, I'll make a film and it'll get distribution. I'll sell it to somebody and maybe, you know, make a dollar on it. But as I started studying the film industry and the media industry in the U.S., I realized that a lot of Christian films don't make money and they don't make it to the mission field. And maybe they're not even appropriate for the mission field. And so I really prayed about it and put out a fleece and asked God what I was to do with this film that we were in production on, The Pilgrim's Progress. That came out 5 years ago, and we did a lot with AFA, and hopefully some of your listeners have seen the film. But I realized that I needed to make it missional. I needed to make it free to the missionary, and it was during COVID we also made it free to churches in America. And just to be, just to see the impact. So that film now has been out for 5 years. It's been translated in, I think, 32 languages.
Wow.
It's been seen by 30 million people that, you know, that we know of. I mean, I'm sure it's been seen by a lot we don't know. But we've been able to track over 30 million views of the film. And we just saw the power of that. And honestly, I thought, you know, that was it. That's what I would do. It was 7 years in the making. And it was very draining. I felt like a Christian pilgrim. I felt like I was carrying a burden on my back. It was very heavy. And then I had this dream that that God had another project for me to do, and it kind of shook me up. I'm not charismatic. I'm Anglican. I didn't know if I was a I didn't know if an Anglican was allowed to have a dream from God. But I had this dream, and I just felt like there was another project I had to do. And that project ended up to be iBible, which was an animation of the entire Bible. Like you said, we are shortly in production now. And it's just an exciting project. I mean, it's just, and the more I work on it, the more I see the need for it here in the U.S. and all the way around the world.
Well, Steve, I don't know if I'm theologically qualified to say if an Anglican can have a dream, but it sounds pretty good to me. And I, you know, I've had dreams like that myself. And I think that one of the things that I've learned about God just in my own professional journey that has intersected my faith journey is that God often asks you to step out in obedience, and you think exactly like you said, oh, okay, this is it. Like, I'll do this. But really, it's just a season of preparation for something so much bigger that, and it reminds me that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and He can dream things so much bigger than what we can do. I mean, our man-made dreams are just pitiful substitutes. And I'm just so excited to hear what, as I was reading more about iBible and what it's going to do, the possibilities are really endless. And Steve, there's a lot of Bible projects that are going on, Bible translation projects in different languages and different forms of media, but iBible is really different from any other Bible project that has existed up until this point in history. How is it different?
I mean, it's the first of all, it's different in that it's visual. So we are doing, you know, we've set out to animate the entire Bible. And so number one, we believe that we should be visual first. You talked about technology earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, kids in America spend 5 hours a day staring at their phones, some much more than that. And so we think visual learning, visual discovery is number one. Number two, we want to be a biblical script. We're not using the scripture word for word, because the scripture word for word is not in chronological order. It's not in a story format. So we are putting it into a story format, but we are locked to the actual scripture. And so we're not a Bible story. We're actually a Bible translation. And we work with Wycliffe and SIL and leading Bible scholars to review our scripts and to make sure they are as biblically accurate as possible. And we are locked to only what's in the scripture. And that's, to me, what's the most exciting. But if you put those two things together, a real Bible translation, so it's not a, you know, we have VeggieTales and Superbook and Owl Glories, and those are all fantastic programs, even The Chosen, fantastic programs, but they're not scripture. It's not an actual Bible translation. So we are a translation of the narrative of the Bible story, and we're visual. And then we're available, because we're a missionary organization, we're available to translate it in any language in the world without cost, without a big license contract. And so we want something that can be freely translated, freely distributed, and can be brought to now 7 billion phones around the world that can watch a video. It's just incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. You know, last summer I spent quite a bit of time in India and working in various capacities there. And it's so interesting, because some of what you're talking about the accessibility and literacy of the world's population, there were very few books anywhere that I went, but everybody had a phone. I mean, everybody had a phone. It was so amazing. I would be in the most dire situations of poverty, in very remote places, in very places without electricity, but still had phones. So I can see that the outreach of this would be so tremendous. And, you know, Steve, I think that there's people listening who are not from a digital native generation, who are not Gen Z or Gen Alpha or even Gen X, where we're kind of hybrids. And they're thinking, maybe, I don't really understand this still. Like, what does this exactly mean? It's a translation, but it's visual. Can you explain more of the nitty gritty of, like, what does this actually look like? What is a visual translation of the Bible?
So, like I said, we start and we literally put up on our screen or up on the wall major translations of scriptures. So we start with King James and we use ASV, ESV, and we use different accepted translations of scriptures. And we use that to create a script in chronological order using those very scriptures, but we go across a couple different translations to get a theme. And then we use a lot of help to make sure we get it accurate in chronological order. And when we have the script, then we go to animation. And when we did Genesis, which is currently out and published, we used kind of a comic book animation. So if you think, if your kids are looking at the Action Bible, or if you think of, you know, the Marvel comic books, it kind of has that style to it, but it has a lot of movement and fluid and characters talking. It's dramatic audio for all the dialogue. And now we're actually moving to a 3D animation. So we're moving to an animation that will look more like Pixar, or, you know, a 3D animation like you would see with Nemo or Shrek or one of these films. And so we're very excited moving into the New Testament. We're moving into a 3D animation. And it's really made that you can watch on your phone. And some people watch, I mean, I've seen productions in churches where they put it up on a big screen and use video projectors, put it on a TV, put it on a tablet, put it on a phone. And so that's what's great, is it can be viewed in any one of those devices in any way. So we're actually going on TV stations. We hope eventually to be on like Amazon and Hulu and these different platforms. And so we want to be on as many different platforms as possible so people can watch. So it may not just be a phone. You know, in the U.S., it could be a TV screen or a Sunday school class, or a family could put it on their TV. We will make DVDs, you know, but when I talk to my staff, some of them say, what is a DVD? But for those of us who still use DVD players, you can even play it on a DVD. So we're going to make it available in every single resource. And, you know, by the time we finish the interview, we'll have your listeners know how to watch a sample episode. Mm-hmm. Because I really, really, when we get into some more conversation, I want to talk about family devotions, which is just so important to me.
100%. Absolutely. Steve, that's one of our 52 healthy habits, and it was in the first month because those practices are so important. And this can be such an important tool. And I think, you know, sometimes when people hear, okay, you're making the Bible into a cartoon, is what, you know, maybe people are thinking and translating in that way. But you talked about staying true to the translation, that this is a translation of the Bible. And talk more, when we come back, actually, we're coming up against a break here. I want you to talk more about the importance of that visual message and the impact of that. Because when I was reading some of the statistics that were in the material for this, looking at how, first of all, nearly 100% of the world learns visually, and 80% are oral learners, and then looking at, again, the literacy, looking at how many people are in the world who cannot read words and how inaccessible that makes God's word to them. So even in some of these languages, which is important work, like Wycliffe is doing, translating the Bible, and I'm a supporter of two translators who work for Wycliffe, but it still doesn't solve that whole accessibility problem. And I think that is something that everybody can get behind. And so when we come back, I want to talk to you more about that, just how we're living in a time of unprecedented opportunity to share and to harness technology for something that is good, and that is sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will also tell our listeners, just like you said, Steve, how they can look at a sample episode of this and how they can support the work that is ongoing, because this is a project that is going to extend into the next decade. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Steve Cleary and iBible. We'll see you on the other side of this break. little things can make a difference. A little note, a little smile, the small stone that David hurled at Goliath, and precious little babies. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a big way. Who will this little baby become? What giants will this baby slay? How about the mother who was spared from unspeakable sorrow because of you? You never know the difference you're going to make with a donation of just $28 to introduce a mother to her child through ultrasound, which doubles a baby's chance at life. All you have to do is take a few small minutes to make a life-saving donation. Preborn will take it from there as their network of clinics rescues 200 tiny babies every day and shares God's love with mothers. Preborn has a 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Get involved today by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Grant me serenity, Lord, and patience, for things will take time. Grant me freedom to walk a new path, and let me feel your love. In my weakness you can shine, in your strength I can fly. And you
welcome back, friends. That song is beautiful. And if you haven't seen the movie Unsung Hero, that song is from the movie Unsung Hero. We interviewed the director of that movie the Friday before last. Make sure you go check out that episode, because such a great example of harnessing media to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And fun fact, the director, Richie, and I actually went to high school together, and we never imagined that, oh, he would direct a movie and I would interview him about it. But that was a fun interview, and I've seen it now twice. So I encourage you to support that movie and just sending such a positive message out in the world. And today we're talking about another great media opportunity with Steve Cleary, the founder and executive director of Revelation Media. And we are talking about his very ambitious project to create a visual translation of the Bible. I've just recently learned about this, Steve, and I just feel like I can't read enough. It's so exciting to see the vision of this, and to think that it's 2024 and we don't have this yet. But really, the iPad was created and launched in 2010. So we are not that far out from this kind of digital revolution. And so I would love to hear more about how this is going to work. Tell me more about how you see this being used. You talked about family devotionals, but also global missions. So lay out the scope for us.
Well, it's like you said, it's a very, very ambitious project. And so a lot of people ask us where we're at. And so our first date, our first goal is to animate the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation. So far, we have completed Genesis. So we've completed 42 episodes of our visual Bible. We're estimating it's going to be at least 280 episodes. It could break 300 episodes. We know as we script it and script all the different events of Scripture. And so it's taken us a while to get to the 42, but we've been able to publish those. So they published just 6 weeks ago. Actually, I announced it on a AFA show, and we got a lot of great response. And so your listeners now can go view what we published so far. If they have an iPhone, they can go to the App Store, type in iBible. They will see iBible by Revelation Media. There's a lot of different Bible apps, but look for iBible by Revelation Media, and it's free to sign up. And if they're on an Android, they can go to iBible.app. So simple, iBible.app, and they will come to our application, and they can register there. And what you're going to see is you're going to see Genesis. You're going to see 42 different episodes. It covers creation, to the death of Joseph. So it covers all throughout the string of Genesis, and it presents it episodically, like one story. I mean, it's our goal to do the entire Bible as one story. Now that we have those 42 episodes done, and some of them are in black and white, but we wanted to publish them to get them out to the public, because really it's about the script. I mean, it's about the Word of God and getting the Word of God into people's hearts and into engaging in Scripture. And now we've set out to translate these as the first segment. And you'll see on the app, they're in Swahili, they're in Hindi, they're in English, they're in Spanish. We're working on Portuguese, Arabic, Mandarin, Cantonese, Bulgarian. And so we're working on different languages. We're trying to confirm Nepali may be done. And our goal is to offer it to any of the languages. You know, you mentioned 7,500. I actually think there's 7,184, according to Wycliffe, living languages today. Those include about 400 sign languages, and we're also working on sign languages as well. And so our goal is to make it available to any one of those languages without cost. And you'll find us on the app. You'll also find us on YouTube and our website, which is i.bible. And so having it available, you know, it was a big deal for us to publish the first 42 episodes. But along with that, we published a quiz, interactive quiz, mostly geared towards younger people. We published a prayer with every episode to lead people to pray as well as engage in Scripture. We did resources for Sunday school, for Sunday school teachers, and we did devotional questions that we target towards parents. And sometimes we asked really hard devotional questions, and we call them discussion questions. And, you know, it's easy for me to ask a hard question because we're not going to give the answer. You know, we just want parents talking to their kids about the Scripture and about Bible and, you know, about the Bible.
That is absolutely amazing. And what I read, too, is that in looking at this innovative technology and thinking of how do we get it to the remote parts of the world where Wi-Fi is spotty, where it doesn't exist, you have developed I'm saying this for all of the tech people out there, Steve, that would include my husband. I have the privilege of being married to a rocket scientist who is amused at the perception that I'm the smart one in the relationship because this is way above my pay grade, let me tell you. But have you developed a solar powered tablet with 512 gigabytes of storage space? I mean, that's pretty amazing. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have. And we're actually still in some sort of research and development. I probably should talk to your husband and he can help us with the science part. But it's very important for us to be able to reach anybody. And it was always the call and it was part of the dream to reach missions. And I always believe that mission starts in your own house and goes to your community, goes to your family. And it doesn't stop there. It extends all the way around the world. And I want to work. And I want to present to my grandkids, and I want to present to somebody who's never heard the gospel before. You know, no matter how far, there is no place that, you know, the Bible shouldn't or can't go. And so for those who don't have access to a phone, we've developed a tablet, and we're actually piloting this with Compassion International in Kenya and sending it to remote areas. And it can come with a solar panel. They don't have electricity. And everything is downloaded on the iPad. And so they don't need internet, they don't need power to be able to watch the episodes. We put other great Christian content on there as well. We can fit a lot of content in 512 gigabytes. And then if they can connect online, they can have access to different episodes, to additional episodes we're making. And we can also have access to see what they've been doing with the tablet. So we know they're using it. And we can actually, we use software now that's been developed that we can actually upgrade the tablet from here, from the U.S., even if it's in Papua New Guinea or, you know, the Middle East, or no matter where it is, we can communicate with the people on the field. And it's a customized, so it's a Revelation Media tablet. We don't have to worry about somebody misusing it. If it gets stolen, we can actually turn it off. And so if they ever connect online, it'll be turned off. They're not allowed to go to any websites but ours. And so it's very, very locked for ministry purposes. And it's not that we don't want to trust the people using it, but we have heard a lot of stories that when computers go in the field, they eventually end up with somebody using it for other purposes. And that's not possible with our tablet.
And I also saw that you're developing a solar-powered portable projection system that's self-contained in a travel case. And when you mentioned Compassion International, Steve, that brings it really close to home for me. We sponsor 3 kids through Compassion International. We have an additional kid through in another organization. But to think about, you know, my little girl that we sponsor who lives in Tanzania, being able to see this movie and probably not having seen anything like this, that is just absolutely amazing. But I want to bring it back home to our living rooms because, you know, I think you can't go to the grocery store right now, Steve, without seeing a toddler on a screen. I mean, that is just a reality of 21st century parenting. It's how we do it. And I think there are a lot of parents who are very cognizant about the media that they give them and try to use programs that are entertaining Christian programs. But this is really different. And it starts with being at home. And I want to go back to that family devotional concept, because you said it's important to you. It's important to me. How do these concepts relate? How do you put these together?
Well, you know, I noticed early on, and it's originally when I started this project, I thought it was going to be DVDs. And that was 7 or 8 years ago. And the idea of a phone app, the idea of putting on a phone app, had not hit me yet. And I remember when I was working on the film, The Pilgrim's Progress, we were doing a promotion and we were giving away tickets. And if somebody gave us a donation, we could give them movie tickets. And the distributor of the tickets said, "You cannot do that. These are promotional tickets. They have to be given away. So the donation has to be for something else." And so we put our heads together and we created a digital version of The Pilgrim's Progress. And it kind of looked like an app, and it was like an animated book. And mm-hmm. It hit me, that's what I needed to do with iBible. I needed to make it not a DVD, an animated book. And so then I started showing my son, who's 30 years old. He's not going to go to church. He's not going to read a book. He's not going to read his Bible. He's going to be on his phone, you know, those five hours a day, and he's going to be discovering through videos. And when I showed this to him, I stepped back and he watched a 7-minute episode without taking his eyes off the screen once. And for a young man who's got ADD and, you know, I can't get his attention, to just see him stare at this, and then he started asking me questions. And when he watched the first episode, you know, and the second episode about the Eve getting deceived by the serpent, he said, "Was the serpent the devil?" And I said, "Well," I says, "you know, what do you think? What have you learned in Scripture?" And then he said, "Why was the serpent even in the garden?" You know, and I thought that was a very
good question. That's a tough one.
Pastors are going to be quick to it's some pastors are not going to be quick, unfortunately, to just throw that question out. And I didn't feel like I needed an answer. And I really share that with pastors and parents. And I am not a pastor. I don't have a theology degree. But the number one thing I have learned in reaching kids is don't give them answers. Give them things to talk about. And, you know, in the Genesis, we have a lot of hard stories. I mean, we got mm-hmm. Dinah, who is sexually assaulted. We got Tamar, who mm-hmm. dresses up like a prostitute. We got hard issues mm-hmm. in there. And what I think is if you allow discovery, and I think that's what the next generation has learned, is they said, "Look, on the phone I discover. And if I go to school, they tell me what, you know, they teach me. If I go to church, they tell me what to believe. If I go to my phone, I get to discover and I get to become my own person." And so if we allow the youth to discover Scripture, and even my 30-year-old son, and who's discovering Scripture with me, and I feel it's a safe place because I can lead and guide the conversation, we can pray together. And to me, that has been, he is now interested in Scripture. And he has never watched an episode and not asked me a question. And to me, that's it. And I have heard this from pastors and parents, is they say when they watch iBible, they have questions. And they say, and sometimes they're hard questions, but they always say, "Thank you." I mean, I've been bishops of the Anglican Church said, "You are covering things in iBible that our preachers will not share in church." And I thought I was in trouble. And he said, "Thank you for doing that. You know, thank you for giving us a tool that we can talk about Scripture." So to me, the number one thing is I challenge people, sit down your kids, you know, you got to be age appropriate. Obviously, you're not going to show a hard episode to a 5-year-old, but especially teenage kids or, you know, even preteens, and show them an episode of iBible and then look at the discussion questions. This is about 6 of them for every episode. Ask one of those discussion questions and ask them what they think. Like my son's question, why was the serpent in the garden to begin with? And then don't try to force an answer. Just discuss, you know, the nature of God and in what is revealed in that story.
Well, I want to know if that question made it into the questions that were included on the devotional, because those are hard. And I was actually just having a conversation with another youth leader who, that's what we were talking about, is allowing them to explore. And the Bible does that. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it should generate those questions. And as parents, we need to be comfortable in saying, I don't know the answer to that, but really what you're describing is using this just like people would use a Bible. If children are reading their Bible and reading these stories, it should generate questions. And if you're plugged into a local church and you're sitting under a pastor who is teaching with, you know, sound biblical doctrine and biblical authority, and they're in classes where they're looking at and you know, having all of this to work alongside them, I think that is where kids are going to be best served, is asking those kinds of questions and then giving them some answers. And, you know, I heard this quote one time, Steve, that if God was small enough to be understood, He wouldn't be big enough to be worshiped. And I think that's a truth that we have to accept as parents, that if we could easily explain everything, we would be like God, and we are clearly not. And I remember, you know, as my father-in-law started his journey in pursuing Christ in his adult years, I remember my daughter talking to him one day, and she said, You know all of the little kid Bible stories now. You know about Daniel in the lion's den, and you know about, you know, Joseph in the coat of many colors, but you need some meat in your life. And he said, well, what do you mean? And she said, she opened up to Genesis and said, there's a chapter here where Noah gets drunk, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But, you know, again, that's part of our job as parents, is to discern when our kids are ready for what stories, and knowing the truth that is in those stories. That can be really hard things to do. But again, you're talking about just a literal translation of the Bible, and it is our job as parents to guide our children through that. Well, more to come with Steve Cleary when we come back with iBible. We'll tell you again how to access it and how you can check out an episode. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
But I know what you've done.
Well, that is such a good reminder for us as parents, as families in today's world, where we can often feel like we are fighting a battle every single day. It is so encouraging to me to remind myself that God has already won the battle, the big battle, and no matter what comes our way, we will overcome. And there are a lot of things that we feel like we are overcoming in this world. And one of those is teaching our children the Word of God and teaching them the Bible and getting them to read. And I am talking today to Steve Cleary, who is just providing us some really great information as the founder and executive director of Revelation Media, that is creating iBible, which is the first ever visual translation of the Bible. And in a world where kids really don't read as much as they did, and we have a dependence on screens, this is a way that technology can be used for good. And we can talk about these things as we're instructed to in Deuteronomy 6, as we walk along the road, as we get up, as we lie down, just inundating them with the Word of God in a way that is accessible, whether that's your kids who are sitting in the cart in the grocery store, or that's kids who are living in a remote village with no shoes on the other side of the world. These are exciting things. Some of the statistics that I've read associated with this project are that 65% of the world has access to the internet and 85% has access to a smartphone. But it takes about 12 to 20 years to create a new word translation, written translation of the Bible. And Steve, you know, I was thinking about not too long ago at the version of the Bible that was released called The Story. And this was the first time the Bible was really put in chronological order to tell a story to be accessible. And it was very well received. I mean, there were everywhere people were talking about that. And it seems like this is a new iteration of that, a chronological retelling, but in visual format. Do I have that right?
And I think it was very effective and people really enjoyed it. We actually take it one step further. And so if you look at Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, if you read them in that order, they actually contradict each other. And the way Genesis 1, it gives you an overview of what happened, and then Genesis 2 gives you details of what happened. And it's not until you merge those do you really get the fullness of the story. But that becomes true even more when you look at the Gospels. So some people say, you know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Some people would say there are different viewpoints of the same story. I actually feel they're different parts. And when you put them all together, you get the fullness of the story. And so, like, I'm working on, you know, different things like the temptation of Christ. So three of the Gospels cover it. One just barely covers it. But they each reveal something different about the temptation of Christ. And then you realize he was tempted three times. You realize angels came to visit him. And you realize that Satan left him for a more opportune time. When he was going to come back to, obviously, you know, when Judas betrays Jesus, Satan comes back into the picture. But to get the fullness of what happened in that event in Scripture, you need something from all four Gospels. And so by harmonizing the Scripture, by literally putting it in order, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you really get a more full story. And then when you put it to animation and you animate it, we really feel like the story comes to life. And so iBible has not, the first part of it has not been out there very long. We have had tremendous success online. Last month we hit 20 million episode views of iBible. And, you know, we had piloted some of the episodes out there on YouTube. And so we're getting tremendous response from it, and we get tremendous testimonies from people that are using it with their kids, using it in Sunday school, using it in churches. I've been overseas in Africa, and we set up in a mud, you know, wall church, and the church was full, and the kids are outside watching, peeking in through the doorways and through the windows. And so we've seen the success of doing an animated version of Scripture or a visual translation of Scripture. But the way we tell all the events, the way we harmonize everything together, to me, it just makes the Scripture so much easier to understand. And so it's like the story, but it takes it one step further. And then, of course, adds the visuals to it. And so it really creates an incredible opportunity for parents and missionaries and pastors and to use it as a teaching tool with their kids.
Yes, and to generate conversation where they're talking about those things, like you said, and discovering and thinking about them and maturing their thinking, because especially at school age, they think very concretely. And so being able to use scripture as a tool, whether it's iBible or the scripture words, I mean, this is a foundational principle of Christian parenting for sure. Now, we talked earlier, Steve, about this being an ambitious project. I mean, really, look, I don't know very much about film production or media or techie stuff, but just in reading through it, it seems massive in scope and is not projected to finish until the next decade, into the 2030s. So what is that rollout going to look like? Why is it taking so long? Why does it take so much effort?
Animation takes a long time. And the way we did Genesis took longer. It's actually a little bit faster now that we're moving to 3D in a computer-generated animation. People ask us if we use AI, and we say we use it very sparingly. AI is kind of like an unruly child right now.
Yeah.
Or some people say it's the wild, wild west. And we're very careful. And so if we can use AI to make a camel walk or color desert sand or make a tree, mm-hmm. make leaves blow in the wind, then we're going to use it all day long. We are not going to use AI to translate. We're not going to use AI to create content. We're going to be very, very careful how we use it because, again, we are under the scrutiny of Bible scholars, and being a Bible translation, we have to be very, very accurate to that scripture. But you're talking, this whole production is about 30 hours long when we are finished all the episodes. And so that's about what a visual Bible, if you watch it, nonstop, it'd be about 30 hours. And we are praying to be able to finish in 2032. So 2033 is a big 2,000-year celebration, and we want to be ready for that celebration. But what's exciting, Jessica, is that we're releasing episodes. We're going to be releasing episodes this summer, this fall. We're working on a Christmas, special Christmas episode that's going to come out before Christmas. And we hope to have the entire harmonization of the four Gospels done for Christmas of 2025, which is coming fast. It's like, 19, 20 months away. And so it takes a lot of work. We are 100% supported by donations. We're not selling anything. We do have print versions that we use, and we give gifts to donors and such. But 99% of our funding is just people like your listeners that are just sending in donations. It may be $10 and maybe $10,000. And this project is fully donor supported. And so we just have to work at the speed that resources are available. Some people say, well, if you just had a blank check, how long would it take you? It would still be 5 years. I mean, it just to really get the script perfect, get it reviewed by the right Bible scholars, it just takes time. And you said earlier, we are kind of behind on social media. Our kids are, they're kind of leaving us behind in all mm-hmm. their screen time and what they're mm-hmm. absorbing. And this is not going away, right? I mean, our kids are not going to be using a phone less in the future.
Right.
And this report, so American Bible Society just put out their 2024 part of it, State of the Bible. And it is discouraging.
It is
showing Bible engagement down. I don't know if you've seen it, but it is not a fun thing to look at. It's like down 35 to 50% among youth in the last 5 years. But I don't believe that kids are indifferent towards scripture. I just believe that we've kind of left them in old school. Here, you need to learn this way. I feel like the Waltons, right? I mean, if you're old enough to remember the Waltons, mm-hmm. John Boy had to go upstairs and memorize scripture as a punishment. It seems like the kids have left us behind. And so if we say, no, we want to live in the same space you live in. And so we're going to watch the phone together, and we're going to watch an episode of iBible together, or we're going to watch an episode of some other Bible content together, and then we're going to talk about it. I find kids extremely engaged in Scripture. So is it that they're unengaged, or is it that we fail to engage them?
I think that's very convicting. I mean, mic drop, honestly, Steve, because that is, it steps on some toes, but it is just the honest truth, because we do see that kids want to engage with their parents. And that's actually another one of our 52 healthy habits that we have, is watching media intentionally with your family. And we talked, actually, Steve, about the recent documentary that came out, which will seem unrelated, but it was about the abuses that happened on the Nickelodeon set, Quiet on Set. And what I discovered was that adult writers were making adult jokes that went over the heads of a lot of kids, but were for the adults' perverse pleasure, to be honest. And what struck me in watching that, Steve, was that I knew adults are not watching this content with their kids, because otherwise there would have been an outrage, there would have been an outcry. But so often we use those screens as babysitters instead of using them as tools. And using them as tools, engaging together. And you just described an episode as 7 minutes. Are they all 7 minutes?
They're five ish. To eight. So we shoot for seven-ish.
So what can you not watch with your kids that's 5 to 8 minutes? I could see this as a devotional time instead of, you know, reading out of a book, which you can absolutely do that too. And I've talked about the merits of that. But again, just using a tool. And I think, Steve, one of the challenges that parents have is that, you know, when we were growing up, we didn't have much media to consume. We didn't have a lot of choices. You had the encyclopedia, you had the back of the cereal box, you had Blockbuster, if that video wasn't gone, you know, if you go to the box and look behind it and see the actual cassette is gone. But kids now, when you look at the statistics of how much content is uploaded per minute to YouTube, I mean, it's like billions of hours that is just at their disposal, and it's overwhelming. And I really feel like it's incumbent on us as adults to lead that media consumption and have kids saying, how do you choose what you watch? Because right now, it's just up to the algorithm. And the algorithm in social media, they're hiring psychologists who are really smart, and their whole job is to get them addicted to the platform. And they may look at one thing out of curiosity, and the next thing they know, they're down a rabbit hole looking at something that is profoundly shaping their worldview, thinking that, oh, I looked at this campus protest, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, everyone I know is in a campus protest. This must be just a societal norm. And that is really terrifying. So I think that this, as a provision, as an alternative for media that is scripture, is just so compelling. So tell us again, Steve, how can listeners go and try out an episode, and how can they access it? Tell us one more time.
So if you have an iPhone, go to the App Store and type iBible and look for iBible by Revelation Media, and it's free to register, and you'll be able to watch all the episodes of Genesis. And you'll see we have episodes loaded, I believe, for the first 20 episodes. So you'll see a lot of our resources are already there. If you have an Android phone, go to iBible.app. Simply iBible.app. Don't go to the Google store. We're not on there yet. We will be. But go to iBible.app and register there for iBible. You can also find us on YouTube. If you do a Google search, you'll find us. Fortunately, we're starting to get out there more, and the name is getting a little bit branded better, which we're very excited about. And then I challenge parents that are listening, or grandparents, I challenge you to watch an episode with your kid, with somebody in your family. I would recommend 8 years. I know there's people that watch it with younger kids. We would recommend 8 years old or older. Watch episodes and then see if it doesn't spur conversation. Because I know it will. And then just use the discussion questions we put on the app. It's right there on the app, and you can use them. We've written them for you, and engage in scripture. And you're right. Who can't take 7 minutes? Mm-hmm. So we actually got 7 minutes from YouTube, and it's actually because they have a commercial break every 7 minutes. So our episodes don't have a commercial break. And you mentioned YouTube and all the algorithms, which is 100% correct. There are now 1 billion views a day on YouTube. 1 billion. And I don't think the phone's bad. I don't think the internet's bad, but I believe the content's bad. I believe the majority of all the content on that kids are watching is really, really bad. I believe it's Satan's playground. And for me, it's more important to what are you going to let your kids watch versus taking their phone away.
Well, Steve, that is a very compelling charge and one that we echo here almost daily on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are talking about that. So tune in later this week as we talk more about tech boundaries and how we can harness media for good. And in the meantime, I'll read to you from Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thank you to Steve Cleary and iBible. And until I see you next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. We'll see you next time, prescribing hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.